When was the marriage really over? Was it over when we initiated, or when I filed, or was it over when one of us decided to stop giving a shit and working on this marriage? And so I think it's a bigger thing. You know, the act of a marriage ending is not in the filing. It's not in the person who initiated. It's in very often the person who refused to do the work and step up and say, okay, something's broken here.
Hey, welcome to the WTF Divorce Podcast. My name is Rob Roseman. On this show, we talk about everything divorce, whether you're thinking about divorce, going through it, or figuring out life after. Divorce, co-parenting, dating. We cover it all and break it into short clips so it's easy for you to find and learn from. If you want more help, head on over to WTFdivorce.com. Thanks for listening. On to today's show. Real quick, let's talk about today's sponsor. The WTF Divorce Podcast is sponsored by Our Family Wizard. If you're a co-parent, you know how frustrating it can be constantly going back and forth with your ex about the kids, schedule, and expenses. Our Family Wizard helps keep everything organized in one app, making co-parenting communication less stressful. More about how Our Family Wizard can help in a few minutes, but now on to today's show.
Hello, hello. So excited to be here talking to my friend Rob from WTF Divorce. And this comes at a really good time for a number of reasons. One being that Rob's got a great new book out. If you follow WTF Divorce, you know it's like a really lighthearted, kind of makes you laugh throughout the day when you're going through tough stuff. I appreciate his content for that. But he's compiled all of his goodness from his page into a book, which I was really happy to contribute to. I was really honored. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Michelle.
How are you? All right, what's doing? I was just talking about your book and how much I love it.
Thank you. I'm excited to share it with everybody, which does feature Michelle. We've got like incredible quotes from people like Michelle, snarky, witty memes, and like a place to just get out all of our feelings besides the Instagram comments.
Yeah, and I was just saying, you know, there are a lot of divorce accounts like mine that are kind of digging in deep into the what and the how and the steps to take. And yours just like keeps it light, you know? You wake up, you're fucking pissed about your situation, and then you see one of your memes and you laugh and you realize, okay, like I can smile about this. And I think that's just as important. That's why I think your account does so well.
Is that a guy thing? Do we just deflect with humor? Some women have told me that. They're like, you're not in touch with your feelings. You're just making jokes. And I'm like, that's like my therapy.
Well, I mean, that's why comedians are comedians, right? To deflect, not deflect, but it's sometimes channeling pain into something else. It's good, clean fun. I mean, you're not shooting heroin.
Exactly. Well, it's like we're taking truth and we're like putting a real spin on it, because I think that's like, sometimes it's a lot, divorce. It's heavy, and it's like, God, I'm just like, I need somebody to like laugh at my effing life sometimes, right?
Exactly. Like, it's those like
book,
stories
book.
You tell where you're like, I can't make this stuff up. Yes, WTF Divorce.
Yes, and Michelle's book.
Which is a bit of my book, by the way, in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, you got the mom side, look, this is coming from a dad, but it's, I tell everybody, it's 90% of the content is from the audience, and specifically, it's mostly women, let's be honest. Most of the audience, as we find out when we're going to talk about, are mostly women that are engaging in this content and doing the work to learn about it. So I think there's a crossover for 95% of even what you say applies to us guys, too.
Well, I love that I do work with men now. I used to only work with women, and now I do work one-on-one with men and couples, and I it's become one of the best things that I do is to be able to have the opportunity to see the other side and not just work with one narrative. Although very often, you know, as you become more seasoned in this profession, you can kind of tell from one person what the narrative would be of both. But being able to work with men and getting all the DMs that I get from men who are like, hey, you know, I know this is really just for women, but it's been helping me so much. And I'm like, no, it's not just for women. And I sometimes regret that the brand is Moms Moving On and the book is Moms Moving On, because I know that dads have grown and benefited from it also, which leads me to the post I posted yesterday which I think maybe, you know, my demographic is like 87% women, 13% men. It might be like 2% men now because they were so mad. I was just reposting statistics, fam. And yeah, the statistics are what they are. Women initiate far more frequently than men. Let's discuss.
Which, look, I'm a statistics kind of guy. I used to be a professional poker player. I'm like, this is actually could be supportive for men, like validating, like, look, this is so right. I think there's this like instinct to make everything contentious and screw you, and I'm the victim, and you're the victim. Well, you cheated. If you didn't do this, we wouldn't be divorced. Like, reality is like divorce is happening. And kind of what we said before, like, when you're going through that divorce part, the filing, the case, all that, it's ugly. It's like a battle in a lot of ways. But after that, like, we're going to be working together, you know? We do this for our kids. As I know that's like your big, you know, mission is like make the kids' lives better. So going off topic a little bit, but yes, the t statistics, they say 70%. I'd guess it's 80 because I wonder what you think about this too. The actual filing isn't always the who wanted it. What do you think about like the difference between who filed, who wanted it, who caused it?
So here's the thing. I think, you know, you have to look at not just the act of saying, I want a divorce or I want to file or I'm initiating. On average, more statistics, a woman spends about 4 years contemplating, pleading to work on the marriage, begging for marriage counseling, some sort of intervention. Let's go on a retreat. Let's get our, you know, passion back. And at some point in that time, a woman emotionally just feels depleted and checks out. Whereas for a man, I'm not saying a man is not emotionally invested in a marriage. They very much are, and thank God, because my husband's great like that. But for a man, you know, if a woman is like not nagging them and they're kind of just like going through the motions, like, okay, maybe there's not a problem, you know? And so eventually a woman just stops. A woman just like, you know, they say like there's nothing more dangerous than a woman who doesn't give a shit anymore. And it's true. And so at that point, it's like, when was the marriage really over? Was it over when we initiated or when I filed? Or was it over when one of us decided to stop giving a shit and working on this marriage? And so I think it's a bigger thing. You know, the act of a marriage ending is not in the filing. It's not in the person who initiated. It's in very often the person who refused to do the work and step up and say, okay, something's broken here, we got to fix it. So, you know, I think it's a much bigger conversation to be had. But I do think that because women are now in a time where, you know, we're not just like barefoot and in the kitchen anymore, for me personally, I think what made it easier for me to make the decision to move forward from my marriage was that I could support myself and I was running my own business and making my own money. And, you know, a lot more women are not just, you know, home being dinner cookers and shutting up and being stupid. Like, we're all smart. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're empowered and you're doing the work and you're growing and you're gonna find a way out if you're unhappy. And that's kind of the beauty of where we're at in this world today. Much to the, you know, much to the ego blow to the men that feels like, but sorry.
Yeah. No, it's reality too. It's like we're talking about something that is true. So like we can push back on it, but you know, it's funny when we did that, I was thinking back, I don't know if you ever watched Mad Men, but there was
I
a
didn't, but that's essentially where they, you know, everybody got stuck in this
right.
mentality.
Right. So marriage was a different model then. I was looking at even the scene where Betty is like, I want a divorce. I don't love you anymore. And that's freaking Don Draper too, who everybody's like, you know, this is God. So look, this can happen to anybody. And it was because like, look, marriage, it's an unpopular opinion I've said, but marriage for a long time was kind of, it favors guys in a lot of ways. We can be, you know, sit back, not do all the, we can do the work, but maybe not the work that a relationship requires. In our defense, because maybe we just never were taught that. We don't even know what that entails. And now with like education out there about like, oh, they should be doing this and this is boundaries and these are like investing the bar, women are now probably like they're farther along in the race. Guys are, you know, still sitting back there and they're not cool with that, you know, in marriage anymore. I think like you think divorces are going down like in the future years?
No, of course not. But I want to say in defense of men, here's the thing, is it's been done one way for so long. Like, there has been gender inequality, right? And like, the woman stayed home and the man went out. And, you know, I was talking to my mom and her best friend about this over the weekend, because they both got divorced at the same time when I was 8, and from men who were very similar, you know, like big money earners, had women all over the place, and expected the wives to just be home and dealing with it, like an episode of The Sopranos. But they kind of didn't want to do that. But for so long, that was the way. And men, it's not that men are not good and men have not progressed. It's all of a sudden there has been a shift in how women do want to be treated. And so men were raised a certain way by fathers who, you know, weren't saying differently than has been portrayed for so many years in the media. So maybe men do need to catch up, but I do want to say in their defense, like, you can't become somebody that you weren't taught to be. You know, you have to take the initiative to say, okay, maybe what was going on in my first marriage, I could have done better. I'm going to change and be a little better in the second. But they really, like, men grew up in this age of toxic masculinity and men don't cry and, you know, be tough and the woman should respect you. And like, it's different now. And so I think it's unfair to assume that men are going to just be on the same wavelength as women in terms of growing and healing. But I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there. I mean, there's so many self-aware men in my DMs and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, like, if we want to get married and be in relationships again, these are things we will have to learn.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the next, you don't want it. Divorce rates go up in the second marriage in a lot of times. So, so yeah, I think, like, it's just a model that has been disrupted in a lot of ways, marriage, with women working and, you know, education about these things. I don't even think, what they say, like 50 years ago, a woman couldn't even have like her own bank account.
This,
so you were
this
like,
is why you can't let women read books, Rob. I mean, look
I mean,
what happened
let's
to
burn
us.
Them, burn them all. Like, take that book behind you. Like, this is, and you know, now we go full circle. Like, is divorce the end of the world? Like, are all marriages supposed to last forever? Like, in a lot of ways, you know, maybe your kids are going to be raised in a healthier way with you guys not being married. So there's so much nuance to the discussion, but I empathize with guys, especially like, right when it hits you, you're like, F this is bullshit. I didn't know, you know, you didn't give me a chance. Or like, I get the emotional reaction, but I think if we take a minute to like sit back in it, unfortunately, a lot of times it's too late. I think that's like a big complaint from men is like, oh, I didn't know that you were actually going to do this. I thought we were just fighting and not talking. So.
Well, that's the problem is, and I always ask people, you know, don't jump. And I made this mistake, of course everybody does, when you have those big blowout fights and with your partner or spouse and you're just like, fine, I want a divorce, and you throw the word around so many times that it's like, how many times I tell my daughter she can't have more sugar in the day, I'm like, no more sugar, and then
yeah.
You know, she doesn't hear me anymore, because it's like it just becomes like a word that we use, and it's so unfortunate because that's why it's not taken seriously, and someone ups and leaves and they're like, wait, what, you were serious?
Yeah.
But I urge everyone, I've sent so many clients away and said, call me in 6 months. I want you to commit to marriage counseling. Even if your partner goes kicking and screaming or only goes once and yells at the counselor and storms out, you need to be able to say you tried. Like, marriage is something you can't, it's unfixable on its own when you're emotional and your partner's emotional and you don't have like a clear view on what's really happening or how to move forward from a problem. You know, I'm in school to become a marriage and family therapist, so I'm biased a little bit, but that neutral third party to help people see that, like, it's not just one person contributing to the issues here, it's always both, and sometimes subconsciously, you gotta give it that fighting shot. And I think that for me, that was the best advice my mom gave me, was you want to be able to lay your head down on your pillow at night knowing you tried anything and everything to make it work. You don't want to have regrets. And so I can't stress that enough. I really can't, because I don't know how many people actually try that route before they call it quits.
Yeah, and this will sound cynical, but do you really think that, like, when it gets to that point, what percentages of marriages, like, come back from that? And they're like, we're good
no.
now. Or is it like the ship has sailed and we are doing it to check the box at that point, which I do think is important.
It is important, and I'll tell you why. I think even if it's too far gone, you have somebody who's going to help both people see that. Like, you don't want to have to be the one convincing your partner for all the reasons why this marriage failed and it's over. It's really great to be able to end a marriage in the presence of a professional who can say, look, you guys tried this, you guys tried that. It sounds like both of you have, you know, you've reached an impasse versus like, you know, I have clients who initiate and then their exes are like, I don't know why you did this. And they spend all their time trying to convince the other person of why the divorce had to happen. It's like, you don't want to have to do that. It's,
right.
Sometimes it's just best to go to counseling, even if you know you want to end it, so you can end it there and have somebody like sort of referee the situation.
And it'll take some of, look, you are, that, like that divorce process is very different than what the rest of your life is going to be like. You're co-parenting with somebody. It's going to be ugly maybe for the first year. Like that's just natural. But like after that, it'd be nice if you could still respect this person. And like you're going into business with this person almost. You're like, we're dissolving this business, but we're going to open up this other one where we're raising a kid together. And if we hate each other and we're just vindictive forever, like that's, what's the point of it? You know, you get divorced, you can stop fighting. So
yes.
It's like, it's a hard thing to wrap your mind around now in the moment. So I get why men especially are emotional about it.
How many years out are you now?
Almost 4 years, which feels like, it feels like yesterday, it feels like 20. It's weird how like that stuff works.
And from your perspective, how have things changed in your dynamic with your ex-wife in those 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, look, that first year, I think a lot of it's like, I don't know if it's male ego, but it's tough in the beginning because you're almost just,
ego.
I think women have ego too, but yes,
we
something
do.
We go back to like teenagers where we're just like, well, if you don't like me, then I don't like you. And but that does dissolve a little. I think you're, especially with like dating other people, talking to other women, you can humanize each other. And then it's almost like you're trying to conserve. Look, being a co-parent, working, all these things take so much energy. I don't have the energy to like hate somebody and like be mean texting them. So even if it's selfishly, which I think both people like, it's just not worth it, right? Resistance is futile. And, you know, maybe when you were young and single, you could like block somebody and hate them. But if you want to have a relationship where you're raising your kids together, you got to just, you know, check your ego and start to figure it out. And then, you know, text your friends, all the dark thoughts that are in your head.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and that's what we talk about a lot in my program when I train coaches, when I work one-on-one, is that everybody is coming to the table with their egos like doused in gasoline and set on fire. Mm-hmm. Because nothing hurts your ego more than having to not only end the relationship you thought was going to last forever, but then like have to explain it to people and go through such a dehumanizing process, like the legal process of divorce, where you're literally splitting things up like you're at a garage sale. I mean, the whole thing just sets the ego on fire, and men and women handle ego very differently. And so many times, you know, when I start working with a woman in particular, and she's like, my ex is a piece of shit and an asshole, and look what he's saying and this and that. I'm like, wait a second. Wait, like with those feelings, how do you handle them? Because then you lash out, you know? So it's like, all of our egos are like at the tippity top mm-hmm. of the worst at this point. And someone being hurt is not a true representation of who they are. And so that's why it's so important in the line of work that we do and how we train our coaches is to help the people involved in the coaching process separate their emotions from what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Bad partner, bad spouse, absolutely. Bad parent, probably not. You know, like it's not black and white like that. And so I think it's, our job as coaches and trained professionals are to kind of draw a line down in the middle between ego and reality
mm-hmm.
and separating those feelings, which are very valid and worth having, but don't always hold a place in what's going to come next.
Yeah. Somebody said we're the villain of someone's story. It's so true. Like we're all living on our own story. And
you know, there's something, sorry, you have to make peace with that. Like, a lot of people are constantly trying to fight the narrative that their ex has. Like, I realized at a certain point my ex was very entitled, or is very entitled, to have all the feelings he had about me, to have whatever anger he had about me, and to tell the story he's going to tell about our relationship, because we both came into it from different places with different perspectives, and we left that way too. I mean, that's real.
Yeah, and I like what you said too. How somebody is in a intimate relationship has nothing really to do with, in a lot of ways, how they are as a friend, how they are as a parent. I'm sure you got best friends that you're like, I would die for this person, but you know, if you got in a relationship with them, you'd be like, they are freaking, you know, yeah. So, yeah. And I think too, is like, as a guy, and maybe it is our egos, but like being able to give some positive feedback is like, it's still for a lot of guys, especially, it's what we, you know, it's like our love language, right? Like, hey, you did a great job with the kids. I appreciate you. That can buy you a couple of weeks of like goodwill. So even if it's selfishly, I always tell people, like, even if it feels not kind of disingenuous, if the kids are your goal and you want it to be smooth, and again, it's also like less, if you guys are fighting a lot, it's less for them to grab onto, you know, like, don't put so much rope out there, because that's what people want. And if it's like, yeah, okay, thanks for handling that, forward text can change like the entire trajectory of your, you know, co-parenting experience. And I think you need to be taught that by coaches, Instagram pages, podcasts, because naturally, I don't know about you, but you don't have too many breakups that you're like, hey, let's just talk every day and start a business together. Like, it's a very unusual thing being divorced and knowing how to do that.
You know, I work one-on-one. Someone asked in the comments. Yes, I work individually with clients. But there's one client in particular who's really, she's doing such good work to take the high road. Like, in every situation, she's coming to me with like, all right, how do I respond to this? Do I respond to this? Should I be flexible when, you know, my ex is asking for this, but he would never be flexible with me? And so, you know what answer I would give to that. But she said to me one day, like, I'm so tired. How much longer do I have to keep being the bigger person? I'm like, well, let's see, your daughter's 4, so 100 more years. Like, you know, that. But the benefit is being the reasonable person in a sometimes a very unreasonable situation and raising a healthy kid in spite of that adversity, right? Dealing with one difficult parent. Imagine what story your child is going to tell when they're adults about their childhood. And that's what I always ask people to like work backwards. Imagine your child is 25 and going to therapy for the first time. And therapist says, tell me about your parents. Well, they were fucking animals to each other. Is that the story? Or, you know what? They didn't do everything perfectly, but my mom really tried her best when my dad was being a dick. Or my dad always kept his cool when my mom was losing her mind. Someone's got to be the reasonable one in order for a child to have a safe and good example and a healthy attachment and to thrive despite divorce.
And to validate your client, the high road is exhausting and thankless. Nobody sees it. You know, it doesn't mean like
you're just
like
a round of applause.
Yes. So sometimes it's like it feels good to just like let it out, but you know, it's still not going to get the result you want. So yes, do the high road for your kids and then vent to your friends, because those feelings are natural. I think sometimes we need to adjust our expectations that like, I don't feel good about this. It's been a few years. And it's like, that's normal. Like, this is not a experience that most people have gone through.
Ask anyone who takes my coaching training. We've trained about 100 coaches so far and certified them. Our first day is all about managing and modifying expectations for clients, because the number one thing that people will come to me, they'll say, I want my ex to stop treating me this way. I don't want to share my kids and I don't want 50-50. Okay. Yeah. How are we going to modify? How are we going to manage those expectations, and how can we modify them into something more realistic? Mm-hmm. And expectations are the root of all heartache. So you really just, you have to put that aside and just focus on, again, what story do I want my children to tell at the end of their childhood?
I have one co-parenting question, like a day-to-day, because we always say, like, if you go in the weeds with, like, all of the decision fatigue that you have, what does Michelle do in this situation? I get the email, oh, your daughter forgot her water bottle today. It's not my day. Her mom's at work, understandably. What's the move there? I'm always like, are we over-helping? What do you do in that spot when you're like, they forgot this. Can you bring it over?
You have two choices, to be spiteful because you're at should have remembered, and then your kid's sitting there thirsty and miserable and comes home with a headache, and then they don't want to do their homework, and then they're all stressed out, or drop off the fucking water bottle. It's not about, well, they should have done it. There is, my husband, who you know is a family court judge, he said something to me years ago that really stuck. There's no principle in co-parenting. Somebody might say, well, it's the principle. They should have remembered. Oh, so your child should suffer because they didn't remember? Hell no. I'm dropping off the water bottle and I'll do it every day. And I'm also dropping it off without sending my ex a text saying something like, you forgot the freaking water bottle again, you ridiculous human.
Good point.
Like, I'm not going to do that because you know what? I'm going to manage my expectations. My ex, amazing dad. Forgetful? Yes. Me, amazing mom. Can't remember to send the water bottle back to her dad's, even if it was glued to my forehead. We all have shortcomings. Like,
right.
You can't hold them against a person forever. So yeah, I'm always dropping off the water bottle.
Bring it. Or option three, I'm like, I think we had water fountains when I was a kid. I don't remember
right?
needing a Stanley cup to consume my 7
Rob,
gallons of water a day. What the heck's going on?
Not a single one of us took a water bottle to school as kids, but that's a story.
Yeah. Well, it is like the stakes of parenting are high. So it's like we're layering, oh, and now you got to do divorce and co-parenting and 700 emails from your teachers to both parents. So this shit is hard. I mean, this is why we all need help and we should be listening to pages like yours.
Thank you. Yeah. And your book, I love how we said we were only going to talk for 12 minutes today.
It's like my therapy. I get on these things to basically make myself uncomfortable and like get my daily angst out.
You seem like a natural, sir.
When you don't have your kids, I'm like a different person. I don't know if moms go through this too, but I'm like, oh my God, I'm like lighter. I can think. It's like a different part of my brain unlocks.
It's the ability to think. Yes.
Yes.
I agree. So let's do a little giveaway.
Yeah. Yes. So I was thinking we could probably do a post about it, but I want to give away the WTF Divorce Journal.
And I will give away the hardcover version of my book, Mom's Moving On. However, if somebody does prefer the Audible or the Kindle, you can let me know if you win the giveaway. But I think that these books together are like a good pair.
Pairing, yes. You get like your tough love and your like deep talk, and then you can like journal away your like the angry thoughts that you don't want to have. I think it's smart to have a mix of both.
Yeah, I do too. So let's do that. You have another hour so we could talk about Love is Blind. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, we could do a love one because that's a topic that is also tricky. But yes, I don't watch that show, but I hear it's all the rage.
Oh my God. Go watch the show and talk to me later. Everybody else who's listening, highly suggest if you're following me and not Rob, go follow Rob. If you're following him and not me, come follow me. If you are interested in working one-on-one to get that good emotional support so that you can learn to separate your emotions from the divorce process and you don't end up in litigation over nothing, please reach out. I have amazing coaches that work for me. Or if you're interested in becoming an actual certified divorce coach and not just calling yourself one because you went through the divorce process, that's dangerous. Also reach out. We have an application on the site, michelledempsey.com. We do trainings about every 8 weeks. And we have a great group of ladies and men. So check us out.
Thank you, Michelle. This was fun. Let's do it again.
Bye.
The WTF Divorce Podcast is sponsored by Our Family Wizard. If you're a co-parent, you know how frustrating it can be constantly going back and forth with your ex about the kids, schedules, and expenses. Our Family Wizard helps keep everything organized in one app, making co-parenting communication less stressful. Here's Maddie to explain how Our Family Wizard changed her co-parenting life.
Before Our Family Wizard, my co-parent and I were constantly arguing. We disagreed on the cost of our kids' activities. We would fight over whose turn it was to pick up our daughter from school. We had absolutely no boundaries. Our Family Wizard has not only improved communication between us, but it has also saved my sanity. We use the shared calendars, expense tracking, and secure messaging on a daily basis. The ability to coordinate and share important information, plus manage expenses, has stopped the confusion and the fighting. This allowed us to put all our focus back on just enjoying the quality time we have with our kids.
Join more than 1 million parents and family law professionals who trust Our Family Wizard. Go to www.ourfamilywizard.com/WTF and get free co-parenting tips and insights from family law and mental health experts. That's www.ourfamilywizard.com/WTF to get started today.